So we saw the Mishnah yesterday, the famous statement of Chazal that the Ben Soira Umayrer is Nidoin al Shem Sofer. He's judged based not so much on what he's done until now, but rather because of what the Torah expects him or is concerned will happen in the future. So let's have a look at the Gemara. It's a very simple piece of Gemara. It's basically a repeat of the Mishnah. So I think we can learn this fairly quickly. And then, Rabbeisai, we're getting to a famous sugya of Roidef. And Bob Machteres, which we will learn together. This is a world-famous sugya, very difficult sugya coming up. So let's just finish off Ben Soira Umayrer. Says the Gemara on the top of Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Tanya, Reb Yosi HaGlili Oimer. Just because this young adult has eaten a tartima arboso, therefore omra Torah yetzei lebezdin lisokel? Question mark. That's why the Torah says he has to be stoned for merely eating a bit of boso and yain. Hello. Again, this is very similar to the Mishnah. Rather, this is just a quote of a Braisa. And it's phrased over here a little bit differently, but it's the same principle. Hello. Higia toiro le soif daitoi shel ben soirer umoirer. Rather, the Torah has arrived at soif daitoi. What does that mean, soif daitoi? It means the Torah predicts, as it were, where this is all heading to. So, that's true. The aveira that he's committed at the moment, which is merely stealing bos of a yayin, obviously that itself would not warrant a death penalty. However, the Torah understands where this is all going, and you know where it's going. We're worried. Hagia Torah lebesoif taitei shel ben soira moira shesoif megamer nichsei aviv. Because what's going to happen at the end is he's going to completely finish all the property of his father. Following which, and yet he's going to want what he's used to. He's been stealing on a regular basis from his father, meat, wine, which is all great as long as the stocks are in abundance. But when they are now being depleted, what's he going to do? He's now obsessed, he's addicted to his meat and his wine. So what are we worried? We're worried. Ve'enoy might say, he's not going to find them. He's not going to find it, that which he's looking for. Ve'yoytzei le'parashas drachim. So he's going to stand at the high road. U'melastei mesabrius and rob people. Why? All in his quest to follow his taivas, which he's now used to, and that is bosa v'yayin. Omra Torah, therefore the Torah said, Yomus Zakai Va'al Yomus Chayev. Much better that he should die innocent and not die a guilty man. Meaning, we're very, very worried he's going to end up killing. And therefore, he really will be Chayev Misa. So, better to put him death now rather than waiting for tragedy to occur. Shemisason Shel Roshoim. Now, these words obviously are familiar to us, word for word, that which we learned in the Mishnah. When a Rasha dies, that's good news for everybody. Good news for them, good news for the world. The tzaddikim, however, the demise of a tzaddik is ra lohem v'ra lo'olam. Sheino v'yayin, if it's sleep and wine which puts somebody out of action, is l'rashoim, it's excellent. We want rashoim out of action. Hano lohem v'hano lo'olam, but tzaddikim is ra lohem v'ra lo'olam. Sheket l'rashoim, when a rasha has peace and quiet, well, that's bad news because what's he going to get up to now that he's got quiet? Ra lohem v'ra lo'olam, well, tzaddikim, it's wonderful. If a tzaddik has sheket v'shalva, so he can just be oisek in Torah mitzvahs and help everybody. Hano lohem v'hano lo'olam, pizur l'rashoim, when rashoim become dispersed. Then that's wonderful. The last thing we want is Rishoyim ganging up together to plan their next crime. tzaddikim, it's ra lohem v'ra lo ilam. We want tzaddikim to be united together, etc., etc. Now, let's have a look at Rashi, and then we're beginning the next sugya. Says Rashi, megamer mechale. He will finish off his father's wine and meat. Limudoi, ma shehurgal, that which he has become used to, bevosav yain. Sheket letzadikim, if it's quiet for tzadikim, well, that's absolutely wonderful. Because now they have time, lasik b'toyra b'mitzvahs, which is a wonderful zechus for the whole world. Okay, Raboisai, with that, we now begin the following sugya. Now, the following sugya is a world-famous sugya, Raboisai, called Habod Machteres, which is going to launch the whole subject of Roidev. I think everybody knows the principle of Roidev, but we need to make an introduction. In fact, maybe more than one. So, Raboisai, pay attention. There is a principle that we all know, and it's called Roidev. If somebody is pursuing somebody else, then you're allowed, in fact, you're obligated to kill the pursuer. Whether who's going to kill him, whether it is an onlooker or whether it is the person who's being pursued, who can turn around and kill his attacker. That is the principle of Roidev, and it's the one case that you're allowed to kill somebody. Normally, there's an Issa min HaTaira of murder, but here it's Mutter. Hakdama number one. Hakdama number two is that in order to be allowed to kill the Roidev, do we all agree that obviously you can only kill the Roidev if there is concern that he's coming to kill? So then the act of murder, killing him, is literally saving a life. But what happens if somebody is not out to kill? He's broken into your home, chas v'shalom, only to steal your chairs. Are you allowed to kill him? So, be'etzem, no. However, this is now the parasha of Bob Machteres. Machteres means a tunnel. If somebody tunnels their way into your home, he's got nothing against you personally, but he's come to steal some of your property. So, are you allowed to kill the intruder? So we just said, Delchayr not, because he's not coming to kill, he's just coming to steal. But here we have the principle of Abom Machteres, for reasons that we're about to explain in a moment. The assumption is that if necessary, he will kill. Why? Because he knows that you're going to try and defend your money. Nobody watches their money stolen and just sits by idly. So he knows that if he breaks into your home and he gets caught by you, you're going to fight him literally to the death in protection of your money. In which case, safe to assume that because he's afraid that he might be killed, he's coming to kill. So therefore, even though essentially he's only coming to steal, but that's what it means, nidun al shem soifoi, that's why it's similar to the Ben Seiru Omeira, though he also is nidun al shem soifoi, because we can assume that if necessary, he will kill. So therefore, we're back to Roidev. That's Hakdama number two. Hakdama number three is, what happens if this person who's intruding, so he's clearly not a very nice fellow, but you happen to know that he will definitely not kill. How can I know that? For example, it's father and son. So if it's father and son, so you know, however unpleasant this will become, but it's unreasonable to expect that the father, in pursuit of his child's money, is going to kill the son. No, ultimately the father will have compassion. If that's the case, then the son cannot kill the father. Now, nobody should make a mistake, rabbis say. This does not mean that the parasha of Roideif does not apply to the father. Of course, it applies to the father. If a father comes with a gun and says to his son, I'm going to kill you, of course, the son is obligated or is permitted to kill the father. That's not the discussion. The discussion is over here where I'm trying to work out, indeed, is the father coming to kill the son? Well, essentially, he's come for his money. Everybody else, if he's come for the money, we said yes, but eventually he'll come for your life as well. A father is different. That is all expressed in the pasuk. Do you know what the pasuk says? The pasuk says, differentiates between somebody ein loy domim and somebody who yesh loy domim. He has blood or he doesn't have blood. Meaning, if essentially he's coming for the money, but we expect that if necessary, he's going to commit murder as well, ein loy domim, he has no blood. Do you know what that means? He's no blood, you're allowed to kill him. Shfichas domim, don't worry, this person's got no blood, meaning we're not interested in his blood. But if the father is the intruder, then yesh lo yadomim. Then he has got blood, meaning don't assume that he's here to kill you, probably he's not here to kill you, and therefore you're not allowed to kill the father. By the way, there was a very famous case, Rabbi Yosef, you might remember this, back in the UK, where there was a farmer who was being constantly burgled. There were intruders into his field every single night, stealing some of his property, fruits, vegetables, and causing big financial loss. And he discovered who they are, and he warned them, and he fended them off, and warned them, you dare not come back. Once he hid in his field in the middle of the night, and they did come to intrude, and he killed them. And there was a raging debate. He was taken to court. I don't know what happened in the end. There was a raging debate about whether this farmer had a right to kill or not. There were those who said he had no right to kill. He's a murderer. It's true that they were stealing his property. It's true that he warned them not to. But at the end of the day, what right have you got to kill somebody to prevent them stealing? So, L'chaira, had it been a Jewish case, we would have said, yes, it was mutter for him to kill. Because the Torah understands that when somebody comes for somebody else's money, the owner of the money is going to fight back, and eventually the stealer, the thief, might well kill. Rabbi Yosef, do you remember this case or you don't remember?
No, I don't remember. I'm sorry.
Right, okay. Now, Rabbeinu, there is one more introduction that we need to make. And this is a complicated halacha, so bear with me. We're all aware of the principle, I hope, which is called kom lei b'derabamine. What does that mean, kom lei b'derabamine? Kom lei b'derabamine means that if somebody commits an act, which is really essentially two averas at the same time, you only give him the more strict of the two punishments. So, what will be the following example? Imagine somebody comes into your home on Shabbos and he rips up your beged. How many averas has it just been over? Two averas. One avera of Chilul Shabbos and one avera of Gezel because he just ruined your beged. Chilul Shabbos carries a punishment of skila. Gezel carries a punishment of financial remuneration. The halacha is you only give him the skila. That's what it means. Kom lei, we establish for him, but the rabbamine, the larger of the two punishments. So if he's chayev skila and also chayev mamoin, the only punishment we'll give him is skila. Now, back to our case. An intruder breaks into somebody's house and a big fight breaks out and he kills the owner, as the concern was. And he also at the same time stole his money. Let's say he did it exactly the same time simultaneously. So how many punishments is he chayev? Well, he's chayev to be killed because he murdered. He's also chayev to pay back because he stole. Didn't we just say one moment ago that when you're chayev two punishments, you only get the stricter punishment? Therefore, that's what will happen over here as well, which means that yes, he'll be put to death, but he will not have to pay the money. But Rabbeisai, here comes the fascinating halacha, and this is a big chiddush. What would be Rabbeisai in the following case? Go back to the example we mentioned before. Somebody comes into your home on Shabbos and tears your beged. He's chayev misa for chilul Shabbos. He's chayev money, momoin, for having ruined your beged. So I only give him the strict of the two punishments, and he's exempt from paying. But what happens, Rabbeisai, in that very case if he was a shoygeig on Shabbos? They never gave him asra. So he never knew that it's asa to tear beged on Shabbos. So even though he committed avera, which carries a death penalty, but he actually will not be killed. Why not? For technical reasons, because he was over that avera b'shogeg. He never knew it was Shabbos today, or he never knew it was asa to tear beged. Does he now have to pay for the beged, or does he not have to pay for the beged? Remember, he's not being killed. So he's never actually going to get two punishments. So if you would have asked me, I think most people would have said, well, obviously, so in that case, he should jolly well pay. How can I exempt him based on the fact that he's getting a more strict punishment? He's not getting a more strict punishment because he was a shoygeig. But that halacha is not true. Even though based on a technicality, i.e., he was a shoygeig, he actually will not get Misa. But because the Avera he committed is an Avera that essentially carries a death penalty, even though practically he's not going to get that death penalty, he is still exempt from Tashlomin. He doesn't have to pay. So how many punishments will he get altogether? None. He will not be put to death for Chilul Shabbos because he was a shoygeig. And he will not pay because of Kom Leib the Rabba Bnei. Because I can only give him the more strict of the two punishments. And over here, even though the more strict of the punishments I actually can't give him for a technical reason because he was a shoygeig, doesn't matter. That still exempts him from paying up the money because he was transgressing an Avera which essentially carries a more strict punishment. So too in our case, a Ben Seiru Moiram. If the intruder kills the Barabbas and also ruins his property, so he's been over two things. So for Misa, he'll get his punishment, but he will not have to pay for the barrel that he broke. That we understand. Come Rabbani. But what happens if he tried to kill, but he got saved? He never actually killed at the end of the day. So again, I would have thought that he should jolly well pay because he's actually not being killed. But no, we're going to see in the Mishnah that this is the Chiddush, that nonetheless he still does not pay. So let's have a look. Have a look at the Mishnah and then we'll learn Rashi. Says the Mishnah. Habo, if somebody comes furrowing into a tunnel with the intent to steal somebody's money, nidan, Al shame soifoi. Now we understand why it's the backup Mishnah to the previous one. Because the common denominator between them both is that both of these are people who will get a punishment. They'll be killed, even though they haven't actually yet committed any avera that deserves a death penalty. But it's rather what we would call crime prevention. Just like the Ben Soira Umaira is crime prevention, we put him to death now because of what we are fearful will happen eventually. So too, this guy who's come to Machteres, we have grounds to be concerned what he's going to do eventually. He's going to kill, and therefore we're going to prevent that crime. Have a look at Rashi. It says Rashi, Habob Machteres, Sheomro Toira Yahorik. Where the Torah has said that yes, he can be killed, Nidoin al shem soifai. He is also being judged based on the soif, not based on something that he has done, but rather based on something that he might well do in the future. Says Rashi, Dholoi kotal, because he hasn't yet killed anybody, and nonetheless, umaktil, and we're still going to kill him. How can that be? How can you kill him if he hasn't yet killed? If somebody kills, we understand. Make-ish. But this person hasn't yet killed. Umakta, we're still going to kill him. Mishum de soifoi balabais. Because we can be rest assured that even though he hasn't yet killed, but he's very likely to do so. When and why will he kill the Balabais? Kesheyamoid kenegdoi. When the Balabais is going to stand up against him, lahatzil mamoinoi, to save his money. Rest assured that even though he never came to murder, but it's going to end up that. So that's what it means, nidn al shem seifoi. Now, carry on the Mishnah. Hoyo bob machteres v'shovar esechovis. He came in the tunnel. So what's his intention? To steal slash to kill, as we just explained. And v'shovar esechovis, and he broke your barrel. So excuse me, sir. Not only did you come to steal, but you also ruined my barrel. You owe me $100. Says the Mishnah, will he have to pay or will he not have to pay? So it depends. Im yesh lo idomim, chayev. Im ein lo idomim, potter. Remember this phrase of yesh lo in ein lo idomim we quoted before. What does it mean, yesh lo idomim? Yesh lo idomim means he's got blood. Remember, we distinguish between two types of individuals. The person who comes stealing essentially is coming, as we mentioned before, also to kill, and therefore ein lo damim. He's got no blood. You're allowed to kill him. You're not called spilling blood. He's got no blood as far as the Torah is concerned. But we said before that if it's a father, that's a very different story. Because if a father's coming to steal, then he's not coming to kill. So he, yesh lo idomim. He does have blood, and you have no right to spill that blood. Do not think that the father's going to end up killing the son. Therefore, the son has no right to kill the father. Ah, so if yesh lo idomim, if indeed yesh lo idomim, that means that the father was never chayev misa. The father was never coming to kill the son, as we just explained. Therefore, the son has no permission whatsoever to kill the father. So the father never has a chayev misa. If he doesn't have a chayev misa, then he's got to pay for the barrel. But were it not to be the father, were it to be an individual unrelated, so then, as mentioned, the assumption is that even though he's come to steal, but essentially he's come also to kill, that's called ein lo idomim. He's chayev misa. So if he's chayev misa, as we said before, then he is not obligated to pay. He's not going to pay. He's not going to pay. So whether or not he pays for the barrel is dependent on whether there was a chayev misa. If it was from an individual, then yes, there's a chayev misa. Well, then there's no chayev to pay. But if he was a father, then there's no chayev misa. That's what we call yesh lo yedomim. So if there's no chayev misa, well, there will be a chayev mamon. Okay, have a look at Rashi. Two lengthy Rashis over here. It says Rashi, yesh lo yedomim chayev. What does that mean, yesh lo yedomim? Who's the one that yesh lo yedomim? As we said before, the father. If he's somebody who does not deserve to be killed, for example, a father coming for a child, because we're going to learn later on, the son is not permitted a son has no permit whatsoever to kill his father who comes furrowing in a tunnel. Mishum derachami ho'av al haben. Because the compassion that the father has for a child will kick in. And therefore we can be rest assured that v'loy bo al iske nefashos. Well, then he definitely has not come to take anybody's life. It's not like somebody else who couldn't care less. And even though he's come for money, but he's also come for nefoshes, which is chayav misa. The father is not coming, whatever happens, even if there's a fight that breaks out between the father and the son, eventually the rachmonus of the father will kick in, says Rashi, v'i havakoi brei la'ape. Even if the son would stand up in his face, lahatzil memoinoi, to save his money, ein bedaitoi shel oviv lahargoi. We can be absolutely rest assured that the das of the father is not to kill the son. And if the das of the father is not to kill the son has no right to kill the father. So he's not chayav misa. Oh, that's called yesh lo yedomim. But if he's chayav misa, if he's not chayav misa, then he's chayav to pay for the barrel. However, says Rashi, if ein lo yedomim, what does it mean, ein lo yedomim? A regular guy. Kagoin, shar kol ha'odom. What would be with regard to all other people? Shenite in rishus, labalabais, lahargoin. Where over there, the balabais does have permission to kill him. Why? Because the assumption is that even though he's only come for money, but if a fight breaks out, he'll take it to the death. And he'll even kill. Well, then you're allowed to kill him back. If that's the case, potur melashalim. Well, then you're not obligated to pay for the barrel. Why? Komei v'drabba mele. D'chiv misa v'chiv tashlomin bo'im ke'echot. Because the death penalty, meaning the balabais is hetter to kill him, together with the chiyuv to pay for the barrel, those two chiyuvim arrive simultaneously, and therefore one exempts you from the other. Now, va'af al pi shenitzel, even if eventually he was saved, so he never actually got killed. So how can you say that two punishments befell him? One of them practically didn't, doesn't matter. Still potam and atashlamim, for the reason we said before, Rabbi said, the kaimelon, Chayve Mises, even if it's Shoig again, if somebody committed an Avera, essentially an Avera that carries with it a death penalty, but he happened to be Shoig, could go in Shaloi Hisru Bohen. They didn't warn him. No, if he didn't warn him, he's a Shoig. Ein Meshalnin Momen. Sheima Misa. He will not pay money together with his death penalty, even though he's actually not going to get killed. But doesn't matter. It doesn't depend on whether practically he gets killed. Rather, it depends on Did you transgress an Aveira which essentially carries a death penalty? So therefore, this oncoming Roideif is committing an Aveira which carries a death penalty. The Baal HaBayis is allowed to kill him. So even in the event that he got saved, he attempted to kill him and whatever, he survived. So if he survives, he's not going to be killed. Nonetheless, he's still potter to pay for the barrel. Because he's definitely no worse than somebody who cooked on Shabbos or tore a beggar on Shabbos and didn't know it was Shabbos, so he doesn't get Misa, but he still doesn't pay. So you see, like we said before, it doesn't depend on whether you actually get a chi of Misa, rather, it depends on what type of Aveira have you been over. Okay, let's just begin the first line of the Gemara. I will have to continue this next time. Says the Gemara, Omar Rava, my timer demachteres. What is the Torah's logic that if somebody comes just to steal money, you're allowed to kill him? Why is that? Says the Gemara, Nidan al Shem Seifai. Why? My time of the machteres, because it's a chazaka, meaning the assumption is ein odom ma'amid atzmoy al mamoinai. A person does not just stand stationary, motionless when it comes to his money. V'hai, and this incoming intruder, Meimar Omer, he says, Iyazilna ko'ila apoi v'loy shavikli. I know that if I come to him, he's going to fight back and he's not going to leave me. And I'm telling you now, if he comes to my face, katil nole, I'm going to kill him. In which case, so we apply the famous principle of roideif. The Torah has said, imbol, if somebody comes to kill you, ashkem lahorogoi, then you can get up and you can kill him in a preemptive strike. So therefore, even though it's an unbelievable chiddush, even though this person officially has only come for what? For no other reason but stealing. But the Torah understands that the logic of this fellow is we know exactly what's going through his mind. You know what's going through his mind? Yes, I'm coming to steal, but I know that the Baal HaBayis will not stand there motionless. He's going to fight back. And if that's the case, I'm prepared to kill him. Ah, so you're not just coming to steal, you're coming to kill. Well, you better know. Then that's the case, the Baal HaBayis is allowed to kill you as well. Okay, Rabbi, so we're gonna have to hold it over here. Fascinating sugya. Mitzvah Hashem, all being well, we'll continue next time.